Hi, this is Ken Savacco, the pastor here at Rogers Assembly, and I just want to thank you for joining our audio podcast today. I hope that this message makes you feel connected, that it allows you to grow in your faith, and it helps you understand that God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message. We're going through it, and we're going to get through this together. I would imagine right about now is the time where some of our lives, where it's starting to get real, where maybe unemployment is in our future. Maybe unemployment's already happened and we've already applied and we're kind of in that lingo of waiting for our unemployment checks to come in. Maybe we're in a place where we're waiting on our stimulus package rebate to come to us through the mail and we're holding out hope for that. Maybe we're in a place where we're very uncertain if we even have a job to go back to or a job to that's going to sustain us in the future. All of those things are in play and they're all circling around our lives. And today is the day, I guess, where we find out what our faith is made of. We find out where our faith is at. And so today I want to encourage you that it is possible and we still can believe, even though sometimes we don't see what God is doing, we don't see what God's plan is. We're in a series called I Still Believe. We believe that God is speaking to us through this series. In week one, we talked about four Hebrew boys. We talked about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how even though their entire circumstances changed, even though they were uprooted from their homeland and they were exiled to Babylon, still in Babylon, they did not lose faith. They grew stronger and they were better for that. God did amazing things through them in a pagan culture of Babylon. So we understood that our culture shouldn't change how we believe. Last week, we looked at the person of Samson and how God had called Samson, even from his birth, at a very young age, there was a call of God, and he was going to lead the children of Israel in their fight against their enemy, the Philistines. And we understand that Samson made a lot of poor choices in life, a lot of wrong choices that led him down into slavery. It's a very good picture of what sin does to us in our own lives. But we understand that you're never too far gone. You're never too far away. And even when Samson was blind and in his slavery, God still had a plan to restore him and to use him. And God allowed his hair to grow back. And as he was doing it, it's just a beautiful picture of God's restorative power in our lives and how in his death, he was able to fulfill his calling of what God had called him to. And we understand that it's never too late for us, that we can still believe in God, even if we've made some poor choices or some wrong choices or some missteps. And so today we are going to dive in to a topic in the New Testament dealing with a couple of fishermen as they struggled in their life to really find out, find their faith, even when the things that they saw in their own lives didn't translate. It wasn't working. They were looking out and they're saying, God, I do not see you in this. I do not understand why this is happening. I don't understand what I'm going through, but you can still have faith in that. Today is kind of a very sad day for Pastor Ken and maybe some of you here at Rogers Assembly. Today is a day that we're supposed to be outside. We're supposed to be distributing 25,000 Easter eggs. All the work was done. All the candy was bought. All the eggs were stuffed. Even the Laffy Taffy was all stuffed. All the planning was done. We were ready to go. However, the Lord had other plans. And we are derailed a little bit because of our quarantine status that we're in. And so what do we do with that? What do we do when our sight says, okay, God, I know that you're up to something. I know that you're working, but I just don't see it. We have planned one way, but now, God, you're putting that on pause and that's all on hold. And you're giving us something different. God, you're steering us in a new way, and I don't exactly see your plan. I don't see what we're going to do in the future every step of the way. God, I don't see how you're going to work through a coronavirus. I don't see how you're going to work with us doing church online. I don't see how you're going to do this and do that. And so many times we get so caught up in what we see and what we and how we feel. And a lot of times we are people that trust only because we see. And sometimes we don't always have the privilege of seeing. You know, in my household growing up, I was accustomed to this phrase, I'll believe it when I see it. Maybe you came from a household where that was said a lot too. Government says one thing, I'll believe it when I see it. Somebody promises you something, I'll see it when I, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. Someone says, oh yeah, I'm going to repay you back next week. Oh yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. And so many times we're accustomed to that. But in life, we don't always get to see what God is doing ahead of time. We don't always get to see what God is doing in the midst of it. And so there's a story in the Bible that I want to talk to you today about. And it's a story that comes from John chapter 6. And it's about a couple of fishermen who are following Jesus. And they're struggling believing God despite what their circumstances tell them. Jesus had been teaching, Jesus had been preaching, and because of that, a multitude came to be with Jesus and to hear his teaching. And we pick up the story in verse 5, after the multitudes had all gathered around and they were looking for a way to feed them all. John chapter 6, verse 5. When Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd coming toward him. And he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test them, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's pay to buy enough bread for each one to just have a bite." So what we find here in Job chapter 6 is we find these fishermen, the disciples, they're in a dilemma. They're in a problem. They have a huge crowd that has gathered. Everybody's hungry. Everybody's famished. They have no food and no resources. And so they're at a real big dilemma. What do we do? How do we go on from here? Today, I want to follow a process just like everybody follows to know that you can still believe. Today, I want to look at three ways that we can assess our situation and know that we can still hold to our faith even in the midst of it. And the first way that we assess our situations, our problems, our dilemmas are with our eyes. When we assess our situations with our eyes, the situations oftentimes find themselves overwhelming. This is what was happening in our story today. But before we even get to that, before we even get to us, I want you to know one simple fact, and that is that nothing ever catches God by surprise. God knows all circumstances. Jesus knows all about it in advance, and he's preparing a way. He knows exactly what you're going to face today. He knows the fears that we have, the fears that we're going to face. He knows the difficulties that we're going to have. But most importantly, before we even get to our difficulties, before we even get to our problems, Jesus has already got a solution worked out ahead of time. Jesus knows exactly what he's going to do. So friends, I want you to know that God has already answered the question before we even get to ask it. God has already prepared a way before we even set foot on a destination to get there. See, before there was ever a famine in the land, God was preparing an answer to the famine by placing Joseph in a place of a prominence, a charge over the storehouse to prepare for God's people. Before the Israelites ever stepped foot into freedom, God was preparing the man of Moses and doing a work in his life and in his heart to lead his people out of Egypt. Before Jonah was ever tossed over a boat out to sea for him to die in the ocean, God was preparing a whale to swim by and provide a divine Uber to get him to shore safely and to get him back to Nineveh where he was supposed to go. Before there was ever a cross that Jesus had to die on and Jesus had to give his life and endure, there was a resurrection that was already planned for that. There was already a plan that he would rise from the dead victorious over life and death. For every tomb that has a big stone that's rolled over it with guards placed there so that nothing can get in and nothing can get out, I want you to know that there's an outcome that's already been planned, a time when that stone will be rolled away. God has it already taken care of it. It's already in place. So sometimes what we perceive as a setback is really just a setup for God to do something amazing in our lives. Verse 6 tells us that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He already knew what he was going to do. Friends, that's good news. Sometimes, though, our eyes are fixated and they're focused so much on the problem that we put blinders on and we can't see around us and we do not understand that God is working because our eyes are so fixated on the problem. There's always a moment, though, where our faith has to intersect with real life. There has to be a moment where our sermon notes get off the page and into the actions of our lives. And so Jesus begins to ask his disciples this question at the point of intersection, where shall we buy bread for all of these people to eat? And he asks Philip that. And Philip responds based on what he can see. Well, God, I see 5,000 men out there. So that really means with women and children, it's more like about 20,000. So I'm just doing the quick math, Jesus. A meal at McDonald's cost about $7 for a Big Mac meal. So if you take 7 times 20,000, you get about 140,000. And then, oh wait, we have a bunch of teenagers, and those teenagers really like to eat, so we better figure in about 10% more of that. And so, God, I'm thinking that we're going to need about $150,000 or $160,000 to feed all these people. And God, let me go to my bank account. Let me check that. God, you know what? Just check the bank account. We don't have it. We do not have that. And so Philip's response to Jesus is based all about money. It's based all about their treasury, what they have, what resources they have. In other words, it's centered on what Philip could see. Verse 7 tells us Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each and every single person to just have one bite." And Jesus responds and he asks him the question, well, how are we going to handle this? So the assessment of what they were doing begins. How are we going to handle this? Jesus is asking us, how are we going to handle this? Well, I guess we could brainstorm, Jesus. I know what we could do. We can send everybody home. We can tell them, go on home, go back to your places, get food on your own. In fact, who says that we've got to feed them? Why is this our burden? It would be easy for us to just get rid of everybody, get rid of the problem, allow them to take their own responsibility and just shove them all along. That's one option. I guess maybe they brainstormed a little bit more and they came up with a second option. Maybe they were like, you know what? You know what? We're going to do a youth camel wash. Let's do it. We'll set it up in the parking lot. It'll be great. We'll charge $10 a camel, and people will take their dirty camels through, and our youth can all clean them back, and we'll just count the money, and we'll try to raise. We'll do a fundraiser and just see if we can gather enough money to feed all these people. No, wait, we don't have time for that. So maybe they could have taken an elitist point of view that said, well, God, we're looking at the need, and we're looking at our resources, and obviously there's not enough to feed everybody, but there's enough to feed some. So I guess we just feed the elitist. If we feed the important people, we feed our disciples, we feed you, we feed our leaders, and everybody else is just going to have to fend for themselves. That wasn't such a great idea. But they began to assess the situation based only on what their eyes could see. And when you base your decisions only on what your eyes can see, your outcomes oftentimes feel hopeless and helpless. Oftentimes we get depressed because our sight tells us that it's not there, that we don't have the means to make this happen. I guess we have a choice to make while we're in this COVID-19 outbreak. People are quarantined. People are out of work. People are losing money. Our economy is going to tank. Our hospitals are going to be overburdened. We could assess with our eye, but that doesn't lead us to faith. It only leads us to more worry and more trouble. And so while we're prone to assess our problems with our eyesight, there has to be more to it. That's not the only thing. Not only did our disciples, our fishermen, start to assess things through their eyesight, but they started to assess their things through their resources. And when we assess through our resources, we find out that our supply is insufficient, that we don't have enough. See, Philip was talking about the bank account. There's not enough money in the bank to feed all these people. When Andrew come over and Andrew chimed in, and Andrew brought a little boy with him. And in verse 8, it says, Andrew spoke up. He spoke up. Verse 9, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among us? So he went to the cupboard and he found a little bit. But in his eyes, it was insufficient. See, in that moment, Philip was looking to the savings account and saying, we don't have enough. Andrew was going to the kitchen cupboard, the pantry, and saying, this is what we have on hand. This is the materials that we have, but it's also not enough. And so when they brought those 5 biscuits and 2 sardines to Jesus, they could have been a little discouraged, a little downtrodden, a little upset, because all they could see is something that was just grossly inefficient. It was not going to work to fill the need. I remember starting out in my own marriage. There was days and there was times when the bank account was low and the kitchen cupboard was bare. And we were like, oh, Lord, not ramen noodles again. I had those yesterday. But the Lord was faithful to us. I know that this pandemic has us keeping an eye on our resources. We're checking what's available to us. In fact, I would almost guarantee at one point through this that you've gone out and you've tried to stock up on toilet paper, or you've tried to buy some toilet paper, and good luck finding it. See, the world is looking towards our resources. If we stockpile enough resources, maybe we can get through this. But there's always something that when we look at our resources, we start assessing, do we have enough to make it through this storm? But I want you to know that it doesn't matter the quantity of our resources. It doesn't matter if we have a little bit or we have a lot. When God is involved, a little is a lot. God has a tendency to do big things with little things. God can take an itty bitty thing in your life, and God can do something big with it. If God can take a stick and part the Red Sea, if God can use a pebble to bring down a giant named Goliath, if God can use a cloth at the River Jordan, if God can feed 2 million Israelites walking through the desert for 40 years with a bunch of food called what is it, then God can take 2 fish and 5 loaves and multiply them to meet the need. And God can take what you have in your life to meet the needs that you'll have. It doesn't matter if you have a lot. It doesn't matter if you have a little. When you put them into God's hands, God can do something amazing through them. And there's the kicker. The only thing that's required of us is to take what we have in our hands and give them and put them in God's hands. That's the hard part. See, you can never ever, God can never ever use what you have until you take it out of your hands and put it into His. The little boy gave all that he had. Everything. Everything he had, he gave. That's all the Lord requires of us, to give everything that we have unto Him. I want you to know that it's not easy, that sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we're just like Andrew, when Andrew said in verse 9, "But how far will my resources go among so many?" How far? Sometimes we approach those situations with doubt. Well, I would answer Andrew like this. How far will they go? I would assume they won't go very far, Andrew. In fact, there's a hungry teenager right around the corner that can eat the 5 biscuits and the 2 sardines all by himself and not leave anything for the other 20,000 people that are beside him. It is not enough in our own hands. But when we learn to yield what we have and give it to God, it is enough. It is more than enough, because we have a God who is able to do exceedingly above and beyond all we could ever hope for, all we could ever dream of, all we could ever wish for, because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived the good things that Jesus Christ has for those who love Him. We can't possibly imagine what God has in store for us when we learn to yield our resources unto Him. That's why we have to stop assessing our situation through what we see and through what we know as far as our resources. We have to start, and this is thirdly, we have to start assessing our situation through the framework of faith. When we assess our situation through faith, the surplus becomes abundant. Jesus said in verse 10, "Have people sit down." There was plenty of grass where Jesus was at, and all the people, they sat down on the lawn. It says about 5,000 men were there, so maybe upwards of 20,000 with women and children. Jesus then took the loaves, He gave thanks, and He distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. And He did the exact same thing with the fish. God multiplied their resources and did something amazing in their life. Jesus wasn't upset because of the need. Jesus wasn't upset because they didn't have enough initially. Jesus didn't let the surroundings dictate who He was or what He was going to do. In that moment, God's glory, God's power, God's love, God's provision was being manifested out to all of those people. It was a teachable moment. And in that moment, those that were faltering in their faith were becoming sanctified. They were growing. Philip and Andrew, who approached this along with the rest of their disciples, they had been assessing the dilemma through their eyesight and through their resources, saying, "We don't have enough. But God, now, because of what you've done, I have personally witnessed with my own eyes. I have witnessed in my spirit. I have this crowd of witnesses around me that have seen you take it and multiply it and use it to meet the needs within your children. I don't have to read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I lived it. I was there when God multiplied it and gave it to the masses. I have a testimony of when God was faithful to me and God did something that brought me through. And because of that, I've lived the word of God in my life. My faith is stronger now because I've witnessed, because I've been a part of it. I was there when God was faithful. I was there when God got us through it. I was there when the bank account wasn't enough to meet the need. I was there when I went to the kitchen and I opened the kitchen door and there wasn't enough food there. I was there when I didn't have enough resources, but I gave what I did have unto God, and I worshiped God through that experience, and God provided in supernatural ways beyond my own capability, beyond my own mind, beyond my own thinking, to do something so miraculous, so wonderful, to provide for everyone. I used to be a little bit yay in my faith, looking by sight, but now my faith can be strengthened because of what the Lord has done for me. Not only did it strengthen those that were faltering a little bit, but it also fed those that were famished. The famished people were satisfied. There was enough food to go around. There was enough food that everyone ate to their heart's content, that it fed up to 20,000 in just a moment. We know that our God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us. And the faithless that were there that day, the naysayers, the people that were there just to check it out, they were solidified because what they saw before them was a true act of God doing something miraculous. And they said in verse 14, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say unto each other, surely this is the prophet who has come into this world. There was a witness that this person is Jesus, the Messiah. Friends, today as we wrap this up, I want you to know that we don't always see God's plans. We don't always see what God's doing. We don't always know what God is thinking. We don't have the privilege to look out and see every single step of the way and see exactly what God's doing. And that's when our faith kicks in and says, it's okay. I don't need to know everything that God's doing. I don't need to see it. All I need to do is simply trust him along the way. All I need to do is to put my faith and my trust in the God. What I need to do is I need to stop worrying. I need to stop fretting. I need to stop being led around by what I see. I need to stop being led by my limited resources. I need to stop putting God into a box because I'm unwilling to yield that which I have unto him. And what we need to do is we need to realize that when we have Jesus and we put our faith in Jesus, Jesus is more than enough. He's more than enough, church. He's more than enough. Jesus is all we need. Jesus is more than our bank account. Jesus is more than the resources that we have in our pantry. Jesus is more than our job. Jesus is more than our paycheck. Jesus is more than a stimulus rebate. Jesus is more than a sickness. He's more than a pandemic. Jesus is all that we need. When we realize that Jesus is more than enough for us, that he's more than enough, then we realize he's all we need in this life. If I have Jesus, I can get through this. If I have Jesus, I can make it, because my faith is not by what I see. My faith is in what is unseen. It is in the Spirit of God that he reveals to me that he is with me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He takes care of me in my time of need. And when I yield myself unto him and I put my resources, I yield everything unto him, then God begins to move and God begins to do something so miraculous miraculous in our lives, that our provisions are met beyond our wildest dreams. Church, today, in this moment, can we spend a moment worshiping the Lord, lifting Him up, giving Him praise for everything that He's got? Tell God how good He is, how faithful He is, how wonderful He is. God, right now in our own homes, God, we lift You up and we give You praise because You are the God who walks through the valley of the shadow of death with us. We have a God who is the fourth man in the fire, who will not let us burn up. We have a God who rescues us from the flood, who rescues us from the fire. We have a God who is our provider in every step of the way, just not in good times, but in bad times. We have a God that we can call on. For all that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today, God, we yield ourselves unto You. God, we give You praise and glory because You are our provider. Today, Lord, we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. Lord, we believe that and we proclaim that in Your name today. And the church together says, amen. Amen.
Even when I can see it, You're working. Even when I can feel it, You're working. You never stop, You never stop working. You never stop, You never stop working. Even when I can see it, You're working. Even when I can feel it, You're working. You never stop, You never stop working. You never stop, You never stop.